month of February, and then finalized in March. So again, as I just talked through that, you know, this is where we are at. Again, you know, while this is still a moving plan, and it will be until it's completely finalized in March, we are getting very close. And again, as you go back after this presentation, look at all the different projects. This is the this is what's going into the DRI. Again, public meeting number two, just a quick recap for anyone who was not at it. That's where we began to look at the projects that first were included in the submittal. And we had discussed at that meeting that, you know, there might be, there can be, there should be more opportunities. We made an announcement that we were extending the project submittal to January 3rd. And again, as you'll see on the boards in the back, we've got highlighted ones that were originals that you had seen in December, but then also the new ones that came in are included as well. So now that we've got our total that we are, you know, looking at. And again, you know, and that helped us begin to shape what were the most important for the community's perspective, and just an example of some of the dots, and we've begun to look at it through those lenses. And that, again, the community helped us identify, you know, sort of what are the goals, et cetera, that the LPC committee has gotten to, and I'll go through those shortly. So from that, from last time we had the public meeting, the January 3rd submittal, the planning committee broke into a subgroup to review all components of the DRI project profiles, and they then began to ask all of the questions that they had. At the same time, we on our team, not just Stantec, but WVHA, Nelson Nygaard, EDR out of Syracuse, they've been looking at all these different projects, getting in touch with the project sponsors, and answering the, and beginning to get more questions so that we can strengthen all of these. Like many in this room, I'm guessing I've had the worst cold that I've had in years. I think it's over, finally, so hold on, I'll need water. I was very happy that it turned out that Phil's doing a big portion of this presentation tonight. So again, this subcommittee helped really establish, you know, where do we need to work with the project sponsors to strengthen all of them so that when we finalize this and submit it to the Department of State, we have as strong candidates as possible in terms of the projects. The, you know, and again, then we met on January 23rd to review those. We had questions for those who were at that meeting, an opportunity for the whole LPC committee to really talk about what's most important. I think an important component of that became that, you know, the strong realization that, you know, for these projects, you need to be able to, you know, they go in, they're completed, and then you are reimbursed, and it started to help, you know, everyone realize the realities, you know, of how the DRI works and how it can be successful, and how you end up looking at some projects that have a higher likelihood of occurring right within the 1 to 2 year time frame. We are at this meeting today, and again, the same LPC subcommittee will meet actually again next week after we go through this and we get all of the community's input tonight. They will review that, and they will finalize what they are looking at and what, excuse me, what they think, you know, really become, you know, the key projects that really, you know, meet with what Hudson, and they know everyone in Hudson, and really hit all of the goals, the fundamentals of the Hudson Bridge District DRI. We are then going to develop, and these are all being developed, parts of these have already been developed, and we'll be submitting draft documents, final draft documents to Department of State. They're actually due in just a matter of a little over a week at this stage. I'm being a little short because otherwise I'm going to start coughing, and you can read and you probably prefer to read. And Bill will, you know, come in and talk. Again, but I should state, you know, in the beginning part, just as you see this and you'll get this draft plan when it's the final plan, you know, the first part is really how do we create a vision together? You know, what is, you know, the downtown profile? You know, what's happening in Hudson? What are the demographics? What are the issues, concerns, et cetera, that we've got? You know, and from that, the vision goals that I'll run through. These are the pieces that go in the beginning, and then the second half is the downtown, part two of the project profiles, and again, you know, how we implement these, and what is the structure, who are the responsible entities, all of that goes into the part two of this, the project profiles. Now, I actually got through this a little bit quicker than I thought, but I wanted to, and Bill will actually walk through it, I can possibly jump to it. The I'll go through the big part of this. You know, here are all of the different projects identified, and we've got this in the back, so please look through it. Again, just to look at some of the basics, overall, your total projects, you're looking at approximately $80 million. DRI, $16.5 million in these projects that we have listed. You know, this is important to note for everyone, anyone who has not been here, although I think most everyone has, you know, it is, you know, a specific part of this that, while yes, there's $9.7 million in DRI funding for Hudson, it was our task to come up with more than that. Again, in the chance that possibly some of these are not going to work out, there are additional projects within the DRI that could then be funded and take their place. But what's interesting is when we look at the DRI round one, here is essentially how it broke out between 44% public improvements, 34% private development, private not-for-profit, 9%, grant loan fund, 13%. The average, when you compare that to, you know, where Hudson came in, it's nice, particularly on the 40% on the public improvements, a little bit higher on the new development, lower on the branding and marketing and grants and loans than the rest of the averages. But, you know, overall, a relatively strong piece. And I like the way that the public improvements versus the new development really began to shape based on all of the projects. And with that, I will let Phil, you know, walk through the Hudson DRI as these projects become implemented. What does it look like? What are the changes that you'll begin to see? And how it really pulls together, you know, the whole greater than the parts. And with that, here you go, Phil. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, and good evening, everyone. So what we want to do here is begin to talk about how all of these different projects that you see up on the boards in the back start to fit together and create a positive impact that's bigger than any one individual project. I think it's easy looking up there at all of the different projects to see, you know, project one, two, three, and not quite realize maybe how they all work together. And that's a really important part of the whole idea of DRI, is that when you concentrate this investment in a particular location, that really creates a positive impact that's bigger than any one project by itself. To begin with, I just wanted to review the community vision that we developed with you through the first public meeting and then the first couple of local planning committee meetings. This is the final version here that you can read. You know, the Bridge District also, I think, just a reminder, that's actually an acronym that I think is really appropriate. It talks about build, renew, invent, develop, and empower. And through all of these projects, we're trying to hit on at least one or two or hopefully even more of those ideas. And the same is true for these overall categories of goals and strategies. And we had five of them that we developed that seemed to be very important to folks here. Transportation and connectivity, how people move through and into and out of the district. Employment opportunities, coming up with more year-round job opportunities for folks here in Hudson was a really important piece that came out in some of our earlier meetings. Access to fresh food and affordable fresh food was another thing that was very important, especially when you think of the Hudson River Valley where you're located. There is a lot of food production here, but affordable and fresh food, having access to that here, has been complicated for a while. Waterfront access. Obviously, you have an amazing asset in the Hudson River riverfront that you have. Getting there can be kind of hard. And so several of the projects here talk about improving that access. And there's also a separate effort, the Waterfront Revitalization Plan, which will kind of pick back up here shortly and will provide a bigger framework for the riverfront as well. And then finally, the livable communities category is kind of an umbrella. It captures really important ideas like affordable housing, quality of life, public amenities, things like that. So you'll see as we go through, and up on the boards in the back as well, there are little icons that will tell you, hopefully, hitting not just one, but multiple goals for each project. And another important part of how these projects all fit together is the connections in between them. And an important part of that is the streets and the sidewalks and the public spaces, the public infrastructure that connects these pieces. So one of the main projects is circulation and connectivity improvements throughout the district, north of Warren Street, south of Warren Street, the railroad crossing to the riverfront, sidewalk, crosswalk improvements, improvements for bicyclists, the Second Street stairs and connecting some of the activity that's starting to happen at the Wick Hotel up to Warren Street. These are all how people move through and into and out of the district, which is really important to help tie these projects together. So quickly, I just wanted to run through a couple examples of that. This is Front Street here, north of Warren. As it exists today, it's a pretty wide street with really no markings. And we find in other cities we work in, when you have a street like this, people tend to drive pretty quick through there. And it's not safe, especially if you're a kid waiting for a school bus or somebody, you know, walking to the park or things. So one of our improvements then is to keep the same street, but just more clearly divided up. We're proposing a marked bike lane on the uphill portion of Front Street. So it would actually switch at Warren which side of the street it's on. And so that's because as you're biking up the hill, you're probably going slower, and that way you don't have to worry about a car flying up behind you and buzzing too close. We're keeping parking on both sides of the street, so there's no change to that. It just pushes it a little. It allows the parked cars on this side to actually kind of protect the bicycle lane. And then by creating a slightly narrower place where cars drive, people just subconsciously drive a little slower, pay a little more attention, and make it feel like more of a neighborhood street. And speaking of neighborhood streets, the streets south of Warren are actually pretty narrow for two-way traffic. And we heard this come up in the local planning committee and in the first public meeting, that it can be very difficult if you have cars parked on both sides and two cars driving in opposite directions. Somebody has to find a spot to pull over and let the other person pass. And it slows people down, and that was something they wanted us to take a look at. And so here what we have proposed is creating a one-way pair with Allen Street and Union Street that would allow people to move more easily through the streets, but to do it in a way that's still not going to create fast traffic through those streets, but just make it a little bit easier as a driver. And again, keeping parking on both sides of the street, because we know that's important for the residents. So those are just two examples of some of the public infrastructure projects that will be part of the DRI plan. The improvements of the railroad crossing at Broad Street, just south of the Amtrak station, is another really important area where we're trying to help sort out and separate and provide more clear directions how you get across that. If you are a pedestrian, if you're a bicyclist, if you're driving through there, how that works in a safe and attractive manner. So as Steve had mentioned before, you know, these projects, one of the big principles behind the DRI is focusing investment in a small part of these cities, like Hudson, creates a really significant positive benefit that's bigger than any one project. And a couple of ways that it does that are leverage, which for private projects means that these public dollars, the DRI money that will eventually be awarded to these projects, is attracting greater private investment from other sources. It could be other grants, it could be private investment, but you know, for every $1 you spend of DRI, you want to get $2 or $3 or more for the private sector projects. It's also a matter of partnerships. A lot of the applicants who came to us on January 3rd had a great project idea, but maybe didn't quite have the experience or the track record to pull it off by themselves. We tried to connect the dots with a couple of these projects to help create these partnerships that will keep projects moving forward. Co-location is a third way that projects work well together, and what I mean by that is just a number of projects in the small area, and I'll show a couple as we take this walk through the Bridge District here in just a moment. And then finally, like I had mentioned before, just addressing those multiple goals, transportation, livable communities, food access. Projects that hit multiple goals are really strong DRI candidates. So what I wanted to do now is just take a few minutes to take kind of a walk through the Bridge District, highlighting just a few of the projects that are up on the board here in the back, to try to kind of show and demonstrate how these projects work together and create a Bridge District that is a great place for everybody in the future. So we're going to start on the north end of the Bridge District, up on beyond Dock Street on 2nd Street, which is the community food hub. And this is a project that's hitting multiple goals. It's providing local jobs as well as fresh food access. And this is something that we heard was really important. It's also an example of partnerships, multiple community organizations coming together to try to make this happen. And then you might think, well, that's great. It's kind of far up on the north there. How do you get there? There's no sidewalks today. So this is an example now. The North Bay Connector Project is proposing extending sidewalks of along Dock Street between Front Street and Second Street, which will help provide access for people not just to the community food hub, but also to some of the North Bay trails that are being designed right now for that area further to the north. So this is a way to provide safe access for people to get to fresh food, to get to recreation, to get to nature, which is just a really great way of trying to tie some of these ideas together. Moving now towards the river on Dock Street, getting to kind of the Dock and Front Street area. This is a rendering that we developed to illustrate several different projects that are all clustered around this intersection. The Kite's Nest North Bay Regeneration Project, which has a food component, has a local jobs component, has a youth education component, and so they're really hitting a lot of different goals for us. The Fishing Village, which is a great public amenity that will be developed to take advantage both of the historic nature of that site and as well as the waterfront access there. And then the Bioenergy Park, which is essentially a waste-to-energy facility, which speaks to some of the sustainability and Green Hudson goals that we talked about in the first two public meetings. As we move now south on Front Street, coming up to Front and Warren, Promenade Hill Park is there. And this is a project that's been considered for the DRIs from the very beginning, trying to make some landscape and ADA accessibility improvements here, so that this really important signature public space is accessible for everybody. And is also just kind of fixing up sort of the front door, the face of it there on Front Street. Continuing to move now a little bit further south down Front Street to the Amtrak station. This is the first impression that a lot of visitors get to Hudson. Visitors who are coming for the weekend or using this as kind of a jumping off point for exploring other parts of the Hudson River Valley. And so we just wanted to kind of spruce this up a little bit. It's some streetscape improvements, the bicycle lanes that I talked about to help people move safely around on the streets through here. So this is something that would be a public investment to help that visitor experience. Then moving down to the riverfront, which we've heard a lot about. We know, you know, people really love the waterfront. They know it's an important part of Hudson, but it can be a little underused. People would love to see more activity happening down there. So there are several projects located down there that are part of the DRI. On the left there is the Public Pier project, which would be a partnership between the City of Hudson and the Sloop Club. This is an image of the potential reuse of the Dunn Warehouse, which has been another really important community goal for a while, and some of the DRI money could potentially help push that further and start to stabilize it and find good new uses for it. And as I mentioned before, there's also the LWRP process, which will help create an overall riverfront vision, and so these projects will kind of work together with that LWRP planning process so that we make sure there's a coherent plan for the entire river. I had mentioned before another important public improvement was thinking about that Broad Street rail connection and how people move from Front Street to the river. This is another example of a rendering we developed just showing how this would now have a clear space for pedestrians, clear space for cars, improve the crossing itself, make it more visible to help improve safety. In a sense, it's sort of a simple improvement, but it also has a really big impact. This is a place that people are arriving at the riverfront, and this feels, you know, these improvements will help it feel like more of a welcoming, inviting front door than it does today. And, you know, another way to think of appearances now as you're moving towards the very southern end of Front Street is all of the area around the Basilica and the Warehouse, headed down to the South Bay area. It feels like the street just kind of disappears into a gravel driveway, and you know there's not a whole lot there right now. So the Basilica has proposed a public green space improvement, which would help some of the land around their building actually turn into a landscaped, attractive public amenity that they could use for events, but also just visually looks like a nicer place and a more welcoming part of Hudson. Employment opportunities is a goal that is kind of scattered through a number of these projects. I mentioned the community food hub is one. This is another big one, support for the warehouse and the DigiFab that's there to help them expand and kind of gear up for emerging industries that they can really be a part of and grow local jobs here. Another part of the job component is the CAS redevelopment, which is currently underway. And in just a moment, I'll ask Sheena to...
Sheena was ready to...
I'm ready.
You're ready?
Perfect. My notes. Good evening, everybody. So as you all know, we've been going through the process of due diligence for the CAS redevelopment site. And that process has involved bringing in all of the potential park development partners to the city. As I've said before, there are three current partners on the table to work with us. They are Bonaccio Construction Group, Tierney Group, and Redbird Development with Sequence Development as a partner. Each group has proposed a combination of residential and commercial development elements. Bearing in mind that the composition of each of these is going to change as the project evolves and moves forward, moves through planning, design, and eventually construction. But the city, to some extent, can reasonably expect some of the following components, or at least most of the following components. Housing. So the housing component will range between rental housing for the workforce, middle income, artist lofts, and a potential for condominiums in one or more of the developer's proposals. The second element is a retail commercial element. Each developer has proposed to fill the local void or the community desire by including one or all of the following elements: a food market, entertainment, and or shared workspace. Parking. Parking will accommodate all housing and related commercial or retail elements. Public spaces. Some have included dedicated green and shared spaces as publicly accessible by everyone. And each developer will own and manage the fully redeveloped site by maintaining a management office on site. And lastly, each developer has committed to using green building standards. So that, I think, gives everyone a better idea of what the components of the development project are. And like I said, we're still in due diligence, which means reviewing each of their proposals, doing site visits, continuing to work with them as we figure out what this looks like.
Thank you, Sheena. I'll return it to Phil. And again, just for the reminder, as we're illustrating this, we're creating these are some images that we had that we put in as standards, just in terms of the type, talking with Sheena to make sure it's close to the ideas of what we're seeing. So with that, we'll return back to the tour.
And we are getting close to the end of the tour as well. So our next stop is at Cross and 2nd Street, where the Wick Hotel recently opened up. That is this building there on the left. This is another area where there are a couple of potential DRI projects all kind of clustered around, benefiting from one another and creating a bigger impact than if just any one of these projects happened. So here there would be, there's a proposal for public infrastructure improvements along Cross Street, improving the sidewalks there, the street lighting, so that walk between Front Street and the Wick Hotel and the 2nd Street stairs here is a nicer, better lit walk. The 2nd Street stairs is part of that, fixing those up to improve that public connection between Cross Street and taking you up towards Warren Street and all of the activity there. There's a proposal to reuse one of the old houses that's here, potentially as a bed and breakfast or some other use. And then historic reuse of the Robert Taylor House as well, another building that's sitting empty. It's falling into disrepair, and this would be an opportunity to bring it back to life. And all of these together now start to create a little bit more activity and energy in this part of the Bridge District. And then finally, happening throughout the Bridge District are two grant and loan programs. One is a homeowner improvement grant, which would provide matching funds for local homeowners who live in their house to do basic facade repair and maintenance, to basically kind of improve the curb appeal of their property And there would be a certain set of income limits in terms of who would be able to apply for those funds. But the idea is to help some of the other homeowners who live here and may not have the resources to, you know, fix their gutters, paint their porch, you know, do whatever else they may need to do. This would be an opportunity to help encourage that. And then the second program is business support for minority, women, and veteran-owned businesses here in Hudson to help them with marketing, with business development. It would be both kind of a skills thing as well as connecting them to other New York State programs, which, again, is helping local entrepreneurs, local employees get their businesses going, get them off the ground, and help keep them sustainable. So that was just a sample of some of the projects up on the back wall there. It's certainly not all of the projects. But I just wanted to highlight a few to kind of give you an idea of how they all start to fit together, connected through the streets and the public realm, and provide this whole range of benefits. So hopefully that gives you a little better sense of how kind of the story of the Bridge District is emerging through the application here. And with that, I will hand it back over to Steve.
Thank you. And we're actually wrapping up the this portion of the presentation part of tonight. Let me just emphasize as we, next steps from right now, because again, as I said at the beginning, this is the last public meeting. We are working to finalize all of the information, continuing to strengthen all of these profiles, but we're in the very end parts of that. We're getting material to Department of State. Again, when you talk about what's next, when we finalize, draft plan goes to Department of State in March. We go back and forth. We finalize the plan. It is completed end of March. Then Department of State, working with other state agencies, we'll go through these plans and make determinations on which of the projects will be eligible for the grant funding. They make announcements. If any indication, just looking at last year, that was about the June timeframe. So in terms of this plan, finalized in March, community will begin to hear about projects being awarded funding in the in the summertime frame. Again, just based on what happened before. I want to just say at the end of this, we've got two ways to provide input tonight. There's always more than two ways. We've got cards you can give us. We can get input that way. On the phones, and I've got the website right behind me on all of these different boards, you can use your smartphones to take a quick survey and also provide comments right into that survey. And then you also, if you don't have a phone, as I said at the beginning, you can just write your comments and take the survey as well on a hard copy, and we will incorporate that into the survey. And so with that, also, we are all here. We'll ask questions. I'll be drinking water while I talk to anyone to keep myself from coughing. But again, we're here, and this is the open house portion of tonight, and we're more than happy to just talk to you, walk you through, answer any questions. Everything on the back boards, we'll put on a rolling piece up here so you can see them here as well. So thank you very much for coming, and we look forward to seeing this happen. Again, there's some really exciting projects that will likely make some huge impacts on Hudson. So with that, thank you very much, and thank you as well for coming to all of these meetings. As I said, I recognize almost all the faces in the room, which means you've all really been coming to each and every one of these meetings. So thank you, and good night, although we're still staying here. So thank you.
Means to prove their houses to basically